So good morning, everyone. I'm just going to pray for us before we start. Dear Jesus, we see you everywhere. We see you everywhere around us and in all the areas of our lives. And as we gather here this morning, I just ask that you bless Ella's story, that you use her words, her story, to tell the story of what you've done in her life, in her family's lives, and in the lives of some of the people that she met while she was away. We know that the word you've given us to read is comprised of people's stories, because you use story to show how you love us so much, how you care for us in the unexpected ways. Let the words that you want to be heard come through. And let this message reach people in the way that you want it to. Have people everywhere experience Ella's story with soft, receptive hearts. In your precious name, amen. And so this morning, I am honored to be sitting here with Ella. And she's going to share a little bit about, you know, her journey over the past couple of years, really, but one season in particular. And she has a symbol to kind of introduce what she's going to talk about this morning. And I'll let her tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so can you hear me on my mic? Yeah? Okay. So in January, I went to a treatment center for OCD. OCD is like one of the, it's ranked as one of the top 10 most debilitating mental illnesses. And I was fortunate enough to have an awful case of that. So I had to go to a treatment center for extra help. And before we left there, we received ropes from the ropes course that is there that symbolizes the 1,500 people who went on the ropes course before us, and the piece of the rope gets passed around a circle, and they all say positive things about you and how far you've come in your treatment. And it's a symbol that the rope that was used to support so many people is now there to support you, and all the people that you met there are there to support you.
Yeah, so there's this really beautiful physical symbol of the cloud of witnesses. Right? And that connects so much to your faith. And just so people can really understand and appreciate the power of that as we go through your story, would you like to share a little bit about, you know, that season of time, right? Mm-hmm. Before you went to the hospital, what you were really experiencing then?
Yeah, so as I was involved in a theater production, actually, which is like the worst time to be having like a mental health crisis, but I began, is there like feedback on this, or is that just, okay, whatever. Okay, yeah, I was really struggling with OCD. That was beautiful. I was really struggling with my mental health and OCD. I was having intrusive thoughts, which are basically like really graphic, like, images that come into your mind, and there's no really stopping them, and it can be very unsettling and, like, discomforting to have these thoughts that you have no control of in your brain. And it was very scary for me because I kind of thought that I was going crazy. I was like, why am I having, like, vivid visions of, like, all this terrible stuff happening? Like, fear of harming people, fear of people harming me, and just, like, It wasn't fun. It's definitely not fun. And I did think I was going crazy because I've had OCD since I was a kid, but it had never really taken like a serious turn in the way that it had at that point. And so, yeah, those thoughts were really hard, and it ended up leading to something bigger than just intrusive thoughts. I got an OCD therapist, and that Angel helped us find, actually. Thank you, Angel. From my intrusive thoughts, I like this idea started in my mind that if I were to spread germs to other people, I would be deemed a bad person, and it would just like fill me with like a lot of guilt and stuff and like just shame. So I would wash my hands like 200 times a day, really, really bad, all the way up to my elbows, and it became really debilitating, and I had cuts all up my arm and on my hands, and it was, I was also washing away those bad thoughts, and it's really hard to, I was like kind of glued to the sink, because the more you try not to think about a thought, it's obviously going to be in your mind more, because you're thinking about not thinking about it, so I was really struggling.
And so there was this period of time, right, where your thought life felt really out of control. And as you get hooked back up to sound, I know you were kind of, this was causing you to kind of struggle with your faith. And maybe tell us a little bit about what it was like to kind of talk to God during that time.
Yeah, so is this, oh, it's working. Okay. I was really struggling with my faith at that point because I was like, why is this happening? This is probably the worst timing for this to ever happen. Like, I'm helping backstage on a show, I'm performing in a show, and I'm helping people with, like, it was just so much at once, and it was really hard and kind of embarrassing to be walking around with hands that were just covered in cuts. It's not the funnest, and feeling the need to, like, sanitize and stuff, it's just, like, not fun to put hand sanitizer in cuts. But yeah, I was really struggling, and I was, like, kind of praying to God. I wasn't really praying. I was kind of yelling at him, and I was like saying, why is this happening to me? Aren't you supposed to have good plans for me? This doesn't feel very good. And I would just spend a lot of time crying and crying out to God and saying, like, whoa, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah. And I know you kind of shared it, like, it didn't even feel like prayer. And we kind of talked about, it was lament. Right. Yeah. Like we see in the Bible, actually, in the Old Testament, the prayers of lament, like I know you had shared, like, for you, prayer now, it's a conversation mm-hmm. with God. Like, you're talking to God, you're talking with God. But back then, that wasn't possible.
And one of my big prayers, even before all the OCD stuff started, was I was really having difficulties with friendships at school. I was pretty made fun of in my school, and I really needed a friend who would just, like, be there for me. And I had been praying to God for a best friend, someone to be there for me, and that comes into play later in my story. But
yeah, and so that's kind of what it was like for you before the hospital. And I wonder if you want to shift to telling us a little bit about what it was like to get to the point where you were getting there.
Yeah, so my therapist saw that things were just going really haywire, and I was, like, not functioning. I wasn't eating things because it was deemed contaminated to me. And it got to a point where it was just really debilitating, and I could basically do nothing. I couldn't even sit on my couch or in my bed or anything. So she was like, we're going to send you to a treatment center. And I was like, oh, that sounds lovely. Okay. That sounds like more work because of packing and everything. That sounds so fun. But I took the opportunity because I knew it would probably most likely help. She'd had a lot of patients who had experience with going to these, like, facilities and getting the treatment and the help that they needed. So I just had to really trust that that would be it. And so I ended up going to Rogers Behavioral Health in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, which is, like, far. And I couldn't do traveling on planes simply because that would be a lot. That would be a lot. Oh, like, with my OCD and everything.
Too many contamination triggers.
Too many contamination triggers, yeah. Have you ever been, like, if you ever been in an airplane bathroom, like, that's gross in general. Like, those things are, like, my height. Anyway, yeah, would have been too much. So, instead, I, like, made a deal with my mom, and we spent so long, well, she spent so long packing, I didn't do a single thing. I bossed her around and said, make sure you sanitize before putting this in the suitcase. And she said, you have to trust me and not watch. I was like, yeah, okay. And I really pushed myself that last night at home. Mom made me a home-cooked meal and basically guilt-tripped me in a positive way to eating it. She was like, hey, Ella, this is going to be your last home-cooked meal for, like, the next couple months. you're going to want to eat this. I'm like, it's contaminated. She's like, yeah, but it's your favorite meal. She cooked up my whole favorite meal. And she's like, I don't want it to go to waste. Great, Mom. Thank you. So I really pushed myself that night. I ate my meal that my mom made, and my mom finished packing all my stuff, and I didn't, and we had to drive all the way down to Wisconsin, and my dad at this point was contaminated for some reason. I can't even remember what reason for which he was contaminated. OCD doesn't ever make sense. My mom was contaminated, but fine enough to go with me. So, but it's a long drive to Wisconsin, and we needed another person there in case Mom decided to get sleepy eyed, you know? So, my uncle came with us, and we drove to Wisconsin together.
Yeah, and I know, right? This was the beginning of that real awareness that sometimes help doesn't actually feel like help in the moment, yeah. Right? Like your mom giving you that meal, right? Doing that for you, mm-hmm. Right? Like, I know you said it was positive guilt, right? So you see exactly. It different later. But you describe something start to happen on the journey to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to a lot of Christian music, and for some reason I had this overwhelming peace, like upon close arrival. My mom drove around the building the day before it was time to be admitted to there, and was just like, let's get a feel of the place. Maybe it will make you feel a little better. It didn't really, but I still had this like overwhelming peace when I entered the hospital the next day for admission. They brought me up to like this conference room, and I got to meet my treatment team, and the first person I met was the person who would be my teacher there, because you still have to do school even if you're struggling really bad. So she comes in and we're all meeting, and I'm feeling so disgusting. Like, this whole trip has put me in such a bad position. I just showered at a hotel, and that was like not up my alley at the time. And I was feeling really disgusted and contaminated. And I had a panic attack as she was speaking to me in the conference room. And she's the first person to ever have like calmed me down in such a way where I was like, this is going to be good. Because she had like a little, I don't even know how she had this on her. She had like a little like fidget toy, like stress ball in her hand. And she started throwing it with me, like playing pass with it and telling me to spot things in the room. And it was in a way that didn't make me be like, oh, great, this again. We're going to have me point out everything in this room that's square. It's like, no, but like she really used it as like a fun way to like calm myself down. And that gave me a lot of hope.
Yeah, it was effective for one of the first times.
Yeah, it was really effective. And then I met my behavioral specialist, and out of all behavioral specialists, she's the only one who was Christian. So I was like, well, that's perfect. Like, this is amazing. So I got to meet her, and she became a really solid person for me to go to throughout my treatment, and firm foundation. Actually, she had a tattoo of a cross on her ankle to symbolize that Christ is her firm foundation. And I thought that that was really cool. And she used our religion through my treatment, which was really helpful because I had been losing my faith so heavily. And so that kind of helped bring it back. She printed out tons of like papers that said fear's a liar and plastered them all over my room. Like, there was not a single spot in that room that was like not occupied by a sign in neon colors with highlighter and bold text. So
yeah, she really put the truth in front of you.
Yeah,
over and over and over again.
Yeah, kind of forced me to see it and forced my roommate to see it too, which, yeah, but.
Yeah. Well, and I know you had shared, it felt like you were losing your faith. You were isolated from God. You were isolated from other people. Like, your world got really small when you were experiencing OCD at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about how God worked through the treatment. When did you start to see yourself again?
So I actually was really struggling in treatment for a long while and kind of gave up on doing my exposures, which are like things to push yourself to do that challenge your OCD. For me, it'd be like, touch this doorknob and then don't wash your hands after. And I'd have to like do that with help from people. And I was losing a lot of hope because everybody else around me was able to so easily do these things. Not easily do these things, obviously, but like do them easier than I could. Like, I refused to do them. They actually attempted and pushed themselves to do it, which kudos to them, but I could never do that at that time. And it made me it was like a bittersweet thing to see people leave the hospital, because it's like, great, when is it going to be my turn? But I was also really happy for them that they heal, and that became a really hard thing for me. But I eventually ended up putting in a lot of work, and with the help from Selena, my behavioral specialist, I really started regaining my faith. Specifically on this one day, we went, there was like, our whole entire wall was occupied by this wallpaper of this like big shaped rock. And they were like, we're going to go take you to see this rock. And I was like, oh, that sounds fun. Take me to see a rock. So, we went on this hike up a mountain. Selena was the behavioral specialist who went with us, and it was everybody in my unit for OCD. And we hiked up this mountain, and you're taking tons of kids with a mental illness up a mountain. It's not going to go well, but whatever. So we're all struggling in our own ways, and my ankle really hurt because I fell on the rocks like at least 5 times. I don't do outdoors well, so it was really a struggle, and I started crying when we got to the top because it just hurt so bad, and I felt contaminated, and it was just not a good time. So Selena said, I'm going to stay back with Ella. You guys all go down the mountain. And so they all went down. We saw the rock. It was a rock. But yeah, it was, I guess, cool to see what was on our wall in our hospital. But anyways, so they all went down the mountain, and Selena and I stayed back, and she started playing Christian music from her phone. And it began to rain as we were all hiking down the mountain. So it's like, you think it's already slippery, and then it starts raining. It's like, what else could go wrong, right? So I love the rain. I love it so much, but it was not the time for it at that point. Like, I had already fallen like at least 5 times, and I was crying and whatever. But Selena played Christian music and said, we're going to enjoy the rain when we get down there. I know you like the rain, blah, blah, blah. We get down the mountain, and she's like, go have fun in the rain. And I'm like, are you serious? Do you see me right now? I'm crying, and I don't want to do this. She's like, just go have fun. So I ended up rolling around in mud in the rain. It was really disgusting, but really fun. A big moment for my OCD, and that was kind of when it solidified my faith in a deeper way than it had been.
Yeah, and when you were telling me that story too, you said, she told you, God wants to see you play in the rain.
Yeah.
God wants to see you enjoy the rain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it with you.
Yep.
So God.
And she ran around in the rain with me.
Yeah. And rolled around in the mud with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you thought that this might help them break the shower rules when you get back, but.
Yeah, they hold tight to that shower rule, I swear. It was that's why I was also really anxious on my first day, because they were like, I know you feel contaminated, but this is a hospital to treat your OCD, not help it out. So what we're gonna do is, we're not gonna have you showers. Like, and I thought being covered in mud and rolling around in rain would like give me a shower. Absolutely not. No.
And
nope.
So it was another place, right, where these hard things,
yeah,
ended up being for your good, mm-hmm, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. And I had a fun time.
Yeah. That you started to get some of yourself back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so rewinding a little bit, though, I know Selena wasn't the only important person that sort of God put in your path as you got there. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit more about the other people there.
So, as you guys know, I had been praying for friends long before my OCD even started spiraling. And while I was at this hospital, I met a couple Christian friends there, and I had some really amazing roommates who would just sing Christian songs with me, and who saw me at my lowest place and saw me with all these struggles and still stuck by me. And I didn't once doubt my friendship with them or think that they were talking bad about me. I really trusted these people, and they became like my pillars through treatment, cheering me on for like stupid little things. Like, yay, she picked a pencil off the floor. Like, okay. But yeah, I had a really deep connection with them because they saw things that others wouldn't, because they were struggling with similar things. Not necessarily, it didn't have to be necessarily contamination, OCD, but their own struggles. And I made my best of friends there. And, I hadn't realized it in the moment, but God was answering my prayers, even in a way where I was like, you're not answering me. And it's like, yes, he just because I had been asking so much for friends who I could trust and who would care for me even at my lowest. And then he put me at my lowest and put me in this hospital where I was really struggling, and I made these friends who were exactly what I was asking for.
Yeah, and that it doesn't even have to mean that God like wanted you to suffer in this way, but he would not let that suffering go to the extent it did, unused, right? Like, he brought you the answer to your prayer through that. And I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about some of the specific people.
So the first person that I really like saw when I first walked into my unit from the conference room was this girl, sweetest little angel of a person ever. Her name is Kenzie, and she was just so sweet. She was from Canada and had like a cute little Canadian accent, and and everything she said was just so poised. And she was somebody who I was scared to talk to at first, because I was scared to talk to everyone at first, specifically her, because she was so like out there, and I was like, oh, I can't like be like that, because she would just walk into the big day room and just start singing, and I was like, I want to be able to do that, but I'm not comfortable here. And so it took me a while to talk to her, but when I did talk to her, it was really sweet, and she's probably one of my closest friends right now. And and we would sing together Christian songs, and it was just like, it was a very good thing for me and for her and for us. And
as you were getting close to the end of your treatment, in your discharge summary, that staff noticed that. They're mm-hmm. like, you were the girl who was singing praises yeah. in the day room.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then I had three different roommates at three separate times. And something that the place likes to do is put two people with conflicting OCDs in the same room and be like, ha, tough it out, deal with it, because it will like help you with your treatment. So they had like somebody in a room who like did everything in threes, and then her roommate was somebody who did things in fours. So they were going around undoing each other's stuff. So like, yeah, they really pushed you in that way. It's like, yeah, 12, they were fine. No, I don't know if that's how necessarily it worked, but yeah, very confusing. My first roommate was somebody with perfection, like perfectionism, like OCD. And I was a very disorganized mess. And you wouldn't think that because I had contamination. But the second things were contaminated, they're on the floor and they're not getting picked up from there. And so it was like, yeah, it was a challenge for both of us. And then I had another roommate who also had perfectionism, but really pushed me out of my comfort zone to kind of pick up my message there. And then my third roommate is my best friend right now. And she, her name's Eva, and she actually had contamination OCD. Different than mine, but definitely contamination OCD. And I was like, oh, finally. finally, I get a breather. And she was so sweet. And although we both had OCD, that didn't really challenge each other's as much as my other roommates did. She really pushed me to challenge it anyway. And we became really close throughout treatment.
Yeah, and as you were getting toward the time that you were approaching your robe ceremony, I know that you kind of reflected one of the most meaningful robe ceremonies you attended was actually somebody else's. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about that a little.
So one of my most, like I said, the robe ceremony is something that you do before you leave. And I had a friend who was doing the robe ceremony, and when it came to him to talk, he said, Ella, by seeing you grow, which he said, you had one of the toughest cases of OCD that I've seen visibly, and to see how far you've come gave me motivation to get better. And that's a big part of why I'm here right now with a rope in my hand. And it was just like a very big moment for me, because even though I was struggling so badly, the way in which I ended up pushing myself helped give motivation to people to.
Yeah, it's a really clear example of, you never know how when your struggle is going to encourage and inspire someone else's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to share about your rope ceremony?
At my rope ceremony, I had a staff member there who was really degrading to my treatment. There was a lot of good staff people at this hospital, but this one specific person who happened to be the count, like the person for the day to bring us to the gym and whatever.
Even before that, though, do you want to tell a little bit about like your final obstacle on the ropes course?
Okay, for my final obstacle on the ropes course, you get to choose one thing to do in like this gym like class for your last day. And I decided to do the leap of faith because I saw it and I was like, that looks really high up. I'm terrified of heights and it would be really stupid of me to do this. So I'm gonna do it anyway. Specifically because she was the person who like runs the whole thing was like, oh yeah, we haven't had like a kid do that in a long time. Mostly just adults. People get really scared and it's kind of wobbly, the pole that you climb up. I'm like, great, that sounds super safe. So I ended up climbing up this like big telephone pole and jumping off this thing with like my friends who I trusted at the bottom supporting the rope. So if they were to let go of that rope, I would have fallen to my death. But luckily, I had enough faith in my friends to catch me when I fell. Yeah.
And you also told me as you were sharing the story that like, by then your faith had returned enough that you felt confident that
I felt confident. Yeah. I was like, nothing, God's not going to let anything happen to me. And it was really cool, except they don't drop you all the way to the ground. They drop you and then you're floating in the air really stupidly until they can let you down. And it's really awkward because everyone's looking up at you like that as you're just like, so it was pretty awkward, but it was like a memorable last day. And then at the rope ceremony, yeah, I had the staff member who was there. I'm not a big fan of her at all because she had said a lot of degrading things to me like, oh, you're never gonna get better, blah blah blah, because there's always gonna be people who I don't know, just
yeah, no, there are always like moments, right, where people aren't necessarily in a place to cheer you on the way you need. And at this moment, you got to see her, like, have to acknowledge the work you had done.
Yeah, and so it was kind of like a, haha, I'm leaving. See ya. Look, I did get better. And so I ended up leaving to a second hospital, but only for a little while and closer to home so that I could get help with the transition home. But I had gotten to a place finally where I was comfortable enough to even leave this hospital, which was like huge for me. And yeah, and having all these people like have to pass around this rope and say things about my treatment was really awesome. It was kind of sad in some ways because my roommate and a lot of my friends who I made there had already discharged before me, and they weren't really there to see me leave, but it was nice nonetheless. So
yeah, that some of the people who cheered you on were already done their journey there. But it shows this, that OCD treatment, right, it's a progression, like it lasts beyond the hospital even. Yeah. And do you want to speak a little bit about that, how it's ongoing?
Yeah, so OCD doesn't go away because it's annoying and it's like a little bug in your head, so it never really goes away. But I was able to get to a place where it had become manageable. I'm still in therapy, but we've just lowered it down to once every 2 weeks. And yeah, there's still a lot of struggles. It was only just recently that I began sleeping in my own bed and not on the floor. It's still a challenge, but my hands are better. The amount of Aquaphor they had me putting on it probably contributed to that, but I also put a lot of hard work into it. So, yeah, so there's still going to be a lot of, there's still a lot of challenges, because unfortunately it is a very debilitating mental illness and you'll still have those struggles even after treatment, but the treatment will help you get to a place where it's manageable and you can take back the things it took from you.
And one of those things, really significantly, you got back on that ride from Rogers to your transition place.
Yeah. On my ride to, I went to a hospital called McLean in Boston. Rogers was definitely better fit for where I was at. So on my way there, I was a little scared, but I had come to a point where I wanted to tell at least one of my friends about my treatment, because I had been ignoring my friends for like a year, which is like not something that you should be doing if you have a friend. But like, I was really scared to talk to people about this because you never know how someone's going to react when you tell them that you've been at a hospital for like 4 months. So anyways, I called my friend who I've known since birth, Whitney, and I called her, and she was just so sweet about it. And I talked to her mother too about everything, and they were just so, they were just happy that I was better. And that, like, really, that gave me such a peace that I hadn't had for a long time. I had been so anxious about what others would think. And so calling them gave me the courage to call more people when I got to my second hospital, and I was able to call a couple of my friends, and they all reacted really sweetly. And it was just like, it felt so undeserving because I had ignored them for such an extremely long time. But they were so kind. So.
Yeah. And what's really striking about that, right, is the hard things, the difficult things. Like, we have this tendency to want to hide them, and it keeps us really alone. And so as you were stabilizing, as you were getting better, you were connecting back to God and you were connecting to others. Yeah. And you found the shame was no longer there. Mm-hmm. You didn't have the need to keep it so private.
Yeah.
And that has turned into a whole other thing for you as you've come back and your social media. And I want to give you a chance to speak a little bit about, like, the meaning and purpose you find as you share.
Yeah, so I started this Instagram and YouTube account called Never Alone. It's basically a place where I can go and spread the real word of OCD and of God, because there's a lot of stigma, like, around OCD, around all mental health, but OCD is one of those that are used as, like, a little quirk, as, like, oh, I'm so OCD. Oh, like, sorry, guys, my OCD. When, like, people don't have a very good grasp on it because we're so desensitized to it, and it's one of those mental illnesses that don't go as talked about to its full extent. And so I've created a platform where I can share my story and kind of spread awareness that it's not just a fun little thing that people like to organize things, because nobody likes OCD. It's really awful. So I've made this account to spread the truth of what OCD is and how debilitating it can be, in hopes that somebody may relate to it, appreciate what I've done.
And you called it Never Alone, and it connects to your faith. Like, people see your faith, mm-hmm, through your story, mm-hmm, through sharing your story. And I know you shared when you were kind of talking to me about it, like, all of the connections you've made through that are significant. Like, it doesn't have to be thousands of people. It can be, you know, a small group where it really is impactful for them to hear your experience.
Yeah, even giving one person hope is really important to me. I've had people reach out to me who have been to the same treatment center as me just a couple years before I went, and I've been able to make new friends through that social media platform. And I really like to say that you may not believe in God, but God believes in you. And whatever you do, even if it doesn't feel like he's there, he truly is. And maybe he's not answering your prayer in the way you expected, but it will be answered.
Yeah. And what else do you want to share about how you noticed God showing up for you as you came back from the hospital?
So when I came back from the hospital, my amazing neighbors, Angel, Josh, and Christian, let me sleep at their house because I was still adjusting to being home. And that was just a very God-sent friendship between our families. And so the fact that they were able to provide and host me there for, like, I think it was like two nights, maybe. Yeah, just while I was adjusting was really meaningful to me and really appreciated, because that felt like something I really needed.
I know you had kind of said it, God brought Angel to my mom,
mm-hmm,
even before all of this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could see things clearly again.
Mm-hmm. I like to say I can see things clearly again through that's OCD. Sometimes I still struggle, but I can, like, see things clearer now. And I can also genuinely see clearer, because I used to not clean my glasses because I was afraid of touching them. So now I can, like, actually see. So I can see in both ways, in the metaphorical sense and the physical sense. So,
yeah. And there's also an aspect of the story, right? You thought that McLean was going to be the best place And Rogers was second choice. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being what you needed. That sometimes God doesn't give you what you want specifically, but he gives you the best thing for you.
So we had heard from tons of people that McLean was like the best, like top tier, whatever. Agree to disagree. I'm just happy that they didn't have any available spots because I was able to go to Rogers and get like the help that I truly needed at the time. And McLean ended up being a good second option just for adjusting. And we thought like, oh, dang it. Like, we're not going to get the best treatment now, but it ended up working out for the better. And I also fell in love with Wisconsin. It's really nice there. If you ever go to Wisconsin, get custard and cheese curds.
Yeah, you were brought experiences you never would have had otherwise.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to close us out with music, but is there anything else you want to leave people with?
Just that you aren't alone and that it's good to seek help, even if you feel like a little ashamed of needing help. It's important that you do because it'll be so good in the long run. And also, I am a little sick. So if my singing isn't good, that's not me. That's somebody else.
I don't think anyone's going to mind. I'll let you get set up to sing and I'll pray for us. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for all the ways that you have worked in Ella's life and that she's willing to bravely share what you've done so that we can reflect on the ways you show up for us. Bless her story. In your precious name we pray. Amen.